WMFO, Medford. Unlike milk, long-distance telephone calls, and library books, there is no due date, tolls, or expiration in the grand hour. Good morning to the 13th of November, 2019. Some sort of full moon out there. I don't know what it's called, though. My apologies. I'm going to start things off with a show. I tried to put together a show for Veterans Day because we're just 2 days removed from it. I observed Veterans Day. Found an old thriller called Cloak and Dagger. This aired on the radio from the 7th of May to the 22nd of October, 1950 on NBC. The stories were based by a book by the same name, Cloak and Dagger, written by Corey Ford and Alastair McBain. But roughly stuff about the office of Strategic Services, which I believe became the CIA. I'm not sure. But here we go. This is Cloak and Dagger. This is episode 16, titled The Black Radio, with an original air date of the 27th of August, 1950. This is Arthur here this morning playing this for you on the grand hour.
Are you willing to undertake a dangerous mission behind the enemy lines, knowing you may never return alive? What you have just heard is the question asked during the war to agents of the OSS, ordinary citizens who to this question answered, yes. This is Cloak and Dagger. Warfare, espionage, international intrigue. These are the weapons of the OSS. Today's story, The Black Radio, concerns an OSS agent who broadcast Allied propaganda from behind the enemy lines and is suggested by actual incidents recorded in the Washington files of the Office of Strategic Services. A story that can now be told.
It was one of those quiet days. The sun was splashing in through the windows, and I was marking time until lunch in the cafeteria. And a date I had with a red-headed secretary. There were just the two of us in the big gadget room of the OSS in Washington. Just me and Hank Morton. And all of a sudden, Hank grabbed my arm.
Mark, get down! Air raid, duck!
Okay, what's the big idea?
Oh, boy, I wish I had a camera just then. Brother, did you look scared?
All right, what was that thing you just threw in a wastebasket?
Just a little noisemaker. Great if you get in a tight spot and want to start a riot.
All right, look, let's start from the beginning, huh? How does it work?
Well, like you see, it's not very big, just about the size of a lemon. Easy to slip into your pocket. All you do is pull out the cap and throw it, and when it explodes, pow! We call it the Hedy Lamarr.
Major Langer, I have a job for you.
Yes, sir.
When our armies cross the Rhine into Germany, Freiburg will become a strategic city. The less resistance we get from the people when we make that advance, the less lives will be lost. Up to date, we have no report of any underground or partisan movement there.
Mm-hmm. And OSS wants me to go in there with a black radio and soften them up, is that it, sir?
Right. Cut in on the Nazi local stations. Broadcast the information we want them to get.
Mm-hmm.
Another of our agents infiltrated that area over 3 months ago to get acquainted with the city and locate suitable hiding places for the radio.
Of course, sir, it'll have to be moved every time we use it.
Yes, that's right. Now, we haven't heard from our agent since she was sent in. We didn't want her to run the risk of trying to contact us.
Did you say she, Colonel?
That's right. Have you any objection to working with a woman, Major?
Oh, no, sir. I mean, no, sir.
Hmm?
Her name was Lucille, the Colonel said. I wondered if she was anything like the redhead, Miss Lucille. Nobody had heard from her for months. Maybe she'd been caught. Maybe the Nazis had twisted out of her the reason she'd been sent to Freiburg. Maybe I'd have a reception committee of Germans waiting for me. It gave me something to think about on the plane flying over the Black Forest in Germany a few weeks later.
There's your rendezvous point straight ahead, Major.
Straight ahead and straight down, you mean?
Running in. Ready?
Ready?
Go. Good luck.
I tossed the radio out first, then I jumped after it. No matter how many times I jumped, it was always the first time. The feeling of falling. Sick feeling. Like a dream. I came to with a jolt. A sharp pain across my thighs from the pull of the strap and the crack of the chute. Then, air all around me. I looked down on a black forest that was blacker than ever at 0400. 4 o'clock in the morning. There were no Germans waiting. But no Lucille either. There was nothing but a foreign country. And up above, the plane faded away. Then it was gone. And I was alone. The radio had floated to Earth about 50 feet away. I checked it, made sure it was all right, buried my parachute, and wondered what to do next. There was a milk wagon coming down the road. I could hear the milk can swaying with the movement of the cart. I could see a shadowy figure holding the reins. I dragged the radio behind a clump of bushes, and then I waited for the wagon to pass. For a moment, I didn't recognize the song. And then, all of a sudden, the words wrote themselves in my head. Come away with me, Lucille. In my merry old... Lucille. Lucille.
I'm sorry I was late, Major Lang. A German soldier I know stopped to talk. I couldn't break away without being impolite.
Oh, just as long as you got here.
Hurry, Major. Let's go.
Yes. I was ever so glad to see anyone in my life.
Gee.
But I didn't quite expect to meet the milkmaid.
What did you think I'd be like, huh?
Oh,
Come, Major.
Well, I had no idea.
No doubt you pictured a slim young thing who'd add interest to your intrigue. I've been neither slim nor young for longer than I'd like to remember.
Tell me, what did you do before the war, Lucille?
Taught history in grade school.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm helping to make it. It's a good feeling. Until you consider the possibility of getting caught.
Well, we've got to make sure we don't get caught.
There is always that possibility, Major. Accept it. And it's much easier to take it if it comes.
Yeah? Who is it?
May I come in?
Well, what do you want?
It's your neighbor across the hall. I wish only to make your acquaintance. My name is Gruber. Am I disturbing you, Herr Langer?
Well, you know my name, I see.
As a poor old widower, alone in this world with very few interests outside of the future of the fatherland, that is, I make it my business to know everyone in this roomy house.
Oh, do you?
You arrived in Freiburg only a few days ago, nein?
That's right.
You have a medical discharge from the army. You are wounded at Anzio.
Is there anything about me you don't know?
Do not take offense, my friend. I asked the landlady about you. It was she who told me.
Your information is right, Herr Gruber.
Yeah.
I was wounded. I spent 2 months in a hospital.
Yeah.
And I'd like to be left alone.
Yeah. You are bitter.
Yeah.
A civilian life will not be easy, but you must mix with people. Make friends. Don't keep too much to yourself. Now, here, I brought with me this bottle of schnapps and two small glasses. Will you not join me?
Well,
Yes, here. To the future, Herr Lange.
Well, I'll drink to that. There was something about the old windbag who rented the room next door to me on the third floor that I didn't like. I couldn't put my finger on it. Maybe it was the way his eyes, like patent leather buttons, kept darting around the room.
Well, good schnapps, nein, Herr Lange?
Yeah, very good.
Not like we used to get before the war. Of course, I'm not complaining. It is such a little sacrifice to make for the Reich.
Yes, of course.
Yes, of course. What are you planning to do here in Freiburg, Herr Lange?
Well, I have my craft card as a union motion picture projectionist.
Yeah.
I worked in a film house in Berlin before the war and was hoping to find a position here.
You had no success yet?
No, not yet.
The motion picture house, a block from the mining university. Have you tried there?
Why, no, I haven't.
Oh, do try it. Tell the manager, Herr Schmidt, that you are a friend of mine. He's always complaining to me about being short of help. But that also is just a little sacrifice to make for the Reich, of course.
Yes, of course. Doctor, I'll go there tomorrow.
Good.
Tell me, what is your business, Herr Kruber?
I am a clerk.
A clerk?
Yeah, in the administration building of Gestapo headquarters. More schnapps?
More schnapps. I may not have liked the old windbag, but I took his lead anyway. I went to the movie house near the university and got myself a job there on a day shift. And I counted the hours until the Thursday, when I'd meet Lucille at the deserted car barn we'd agreed on. On Wednesday, I was in the projection room running a half-hour newsreel, most of which was a close-up of Hitler making a speech in Berlin and foaming at the mouth. I looked down over the heads of the audience, wondered if all of them were as enthusiastic about the Führer as they pretended to be. Wondered how much it would take to push them into starting their own underground. Wondered how many of them would be listening to their radio the next night. Listening to me.
Now, Lange.
Yeah, Schmidt?
I came to tell you... Turn that speaker down, will you?
Yeah.
I came to tell you may have tomorrow afternoon off.
Tomorrow afternoon, but I don't understand.
Zerbrechen Sie sich den Kopf. I will want you tomorrow night instead.
Oh, but tomorrow night is impossible. I mean...
Longer, you have a good job here. If I ask you to take the night shift this once, I see no need for argument.
Oh, but, you see...
Is what you have to do that important that it cannot be postponed?
Nein, Herr Schmidt. Not so important. I'll be here. The next night at 20 minutes past 10, the feature film went off. I set the machine. The newsreel would run by itself for half an hour. No more. It didn't give me much time before the reel would run out. Just a half hour to get to the car barn, broadcast, and get back. Well, that's it, Lucille. 730 kilocycles, but I can't seem to get reception.
Ah, they are signing off.
This is Reichstation KLB signing off. Until tomorrow morning... Heil Hitler.
Well, here we go. Keep your fingers crossed. Don't turn off your radios, people of Freiburg. This is for you. I am your voice of freedom, bringing you news as it actually exists, not as the propaganda ministry would like you to believe.
Mark, that's good. Wonderful.
It wasn't 50 sons of Freiburg who died at the Anzio beachhead, but 500. You mothers, wives, sweethearts who have not heard from your men. You think the mails are slow? Is that why you haven't received letters? Your men will never write again. They were killed at Anzio. Women, they are taking your men away. What do you have for compensation? You have no food. You're cold.
Reichstation and the political leaders want to sacrifice everything but themselves. Haven't you sacrificed enough?
Mark, it's late.
It's all right. And now, until another time soon, this is the voice of freedom. Good night. I will not say Heil Hitler. I say instead, God be with you.
The first of many. God be with us both.
We dismantled the radio. I lifted it into the back of the milk wagon, ran as fast as I could back to the theater, and slid in through the side door. And then I heard it.
Hey, Lango, where were you?
Oh, Herr Schmidt, well,
What business had you to leave the protection room during the newsreel of the Führer? I only hope the authorities do not hear of this. Our leader cut off in the middle of his speech. Where were you?
Where was I? I was in the washroom.
Just going up to see if you had fallen asleep. Adolos, go fix the machine quickly.
When did this happen?
Happened just a minute ago, natürlich. It's a wonder you couldn't hear all the disturbance from the washroom. Also, mach schnell, los.
I ran up the stairs to the projection room. God must have been with me that first night. If the machine had broken down 5 minutes earlier, Herr Schmidt would have known I'd left the theater. The next week, and the next, we were on the air. We moved the radio to a deserted warehouse, to a cave in the Black Forest, to a barn on the outskirts of town. As the voice of freedom, I told the people of Freiburg, you are fighting a lost cause. The losses of the Luftwaffe are 75% higher than reported. Resistance in all German-occupied territory is growing stronger. People in the city looked the same. Were as respectful as ever to the Nazi soldiers that walked the streets. None of them showed by so much as a look or a word that they ever heard those broadcasts. And then I received my first indication.
I saw you through the window of the coffee shop, Herr Langer. May I join you at your table?
If you'd like.
Oh, thank you. So, have you been listening to your radio lately?
I have no radio.
Well, if you get one, then, I advise you not to listen to Reichsstation KLD.
Oh, why not?
Because the Gestapo will arrest anyone caught listening to the man who calls himself the Voice of Freedom.
What does he talk about, this Voice of Freedom?
Oh, it's nonsense, of course. Allied propaganda nonsense. You sure you have never heard him?
I told you, Herr Gruber, I have no radio.
Oh, but of course. I forgot. Why is it, Herr Langer, I have the feeling I've seen you somewhere before?
It was ridiculous to suppose that he had ever seen me before, but he told me one thing. The people were listening. And the Gestapo was looking for me.
Unser Führer wird uns siegreich aus dem Krieg bringen.
Hör nicht auf Mark. Mark, with that cough of yours, perhaps I'd better broadcast tonight.
No, I'll be all right. People of Freiburg, this is your voice of freedom. I want to tell you, my friends, how step by step Hitler has developed his program. Step by step, he has carried it out successfully. First, he took our men and destroyed them. And now Hitler is destroying our cities and our factories. Allied bombings will destroy all Germany. Our men are already dead in 100 battlefields. This is the Führer's greatest achievement for Germany. He is accomplishing it all in less than 12 short years. 12 short years of Hitlerite success.
They are jamming the radio, Mark. You'd better sign off.
It's all right. This is the voice of freedom saying good night. I will not say Heil Hitler. I say instead, God be with you.
I'm afraid they may be closing in.
Yes, Lucille, it's the first time they've jammed our broadcast. We'll have to move fast. Dismantle the radio and get out of here.
The wagon is right outside. Hurry.
Less than 5 minutes later, we'd left the basement of the schoolhouse near the cathedral. It was quiet in the streets. Too quiet.
as if the city were holding its breath, waiting for something to happen.
Good night. Until Friday. You know the place.
Yes. Let me take the radio tonight.
Oh, walk back to your room with it under your arm. What foolishness.
Yes, but Lucille, you always take the risk of being caught with
it. I have the milk wagon to hide it and the barn to bury it. We'd better not stand here any longer. Good night again. And take care of that cough.
I started to walk quickly in the opposite direction. If German triangulation had found the general location of the radio, the neighborhood would be swarming with Gestapo any minute. The headlights of the official car came out of nowhere around a corner and blinded me.
Halt! Stay where you are! Halt!
I started to run.
Halt! Halt!
I ducked into a doorway, up the stairs to the roof, across the roof, down some stairs again, back into the street. Somehow, I'd shaken them. I was free of them. I had to find somewhere to go, somewhere to hide. The movie house where I worked was close by. I went in through the side door.
Yikes!
Hunched down in a seat, anonymous in the darkness, I was one of hundreds of people watching the travel. And then something happened to the film and the soundtrack went sound.
One by one, but God, we are looking for a man who is seen coming into this theater through the side door. A man who is wanted for questioning by the Gestapo. You will file out the exit one by one and row by row with no talking. Women to the right, men to the left. There will be no more...
Maybe my forged identification would pass inspection easily. But the men who were chasing me had a general idea of my height and weight. I couldn't take the chance. I put my hand in my pocket and pulled out a round disc about the size of a lemon. The noisemaker OSS called the Hedy Lamarr. I yanked out the cap and threw it. It started a riot, all right. The soldiers couldn't hold them back. They practically walked over them in their rush to get out. And I walked out too, swept along in the tide of panic.
Gruber. Just on your way to work, I see. I will walk with you partway.
Well, if you'd like.
Tonight, when you get home from your work, listen to your radio.
I told you I have no radio.
I do keep forgetting. You are welcome to listen to mine, then. There's to be an important announcement at 7 o'clock.
Announcement? About what?
I learned about it this morning at the administration building where I work.
Yes?
There's to be a hanging in the square at noon tomorrow. An Allied spy who was caught with a radio.
What did you say?
A woman, a spy. She was picked up last night, driving a milk wagon. Can you imagine such a... are you ill, Helena?
I haven't been well, cold.
They haven't caught the man yet. The one who calls himself the Voice of Freedom. But I have no doubt they will soon. They're offering a large reward.
Are they?
That's a very bad cold, Herr Langer. Tonight, when you return from work, remind me to give you some of my cough medicine. It's very... I turn off here. Be the same.
I didn't stop by for the cough medicine. After work, I locked myself in my room and stayed up all night, looking out of the window, up at the ice-blue stars that hung over Germany. And I tried to think of something to do to help Lucille. Before noon the next day, I went to the square. But I still didn't have the answer.
Isn't it frightening, Herr Langer, the way an execution will draw the people like flies to honey? Is it fascination, do you think, of seeing someone else suffer?
You tell me, Herr Gruber. You should know you're here.
So I am. But then, so are you.
Whoop! Whoop! Woman, have you anything to say before you die?
People of Freiburg, remember what you heard on your radios. Remember what the Voice of Freedom told you. It was the truth. The truth.
You must
Your leaders are betraying you. Goodbye, citizens of Freiburg. I will not say Heil Hitler. I say instead, God be with you.
It happened quickly. It was all over. And I hadn't done a thing to stop it. Yes, who is it?
Only I, Herr Gruber.
Go away, will you, please? Go away, I don't want to talk to anyone.
Upset, are you, my friend, about the hanging this afternoon?
No. No, I just don't feel well.
Now, don't torment yourself this way. There was nothing you could do to prevent it. She did not expect it.
What are you talking about?
Trust me. You have no one else to trust. The Gestapo is going to check and cross-check every man's papers. Every man in Freiburg. Are you sure you can stand a thorough investigation, Lange?
Well, you're crazy. Are you accusing
you
me?
You are the voice of freedom. I suspected it for a long time. I was never sure. I was afraid to step forward soon.
Now, look.
No, listen to me. I know you don't like me. I have not liked myself for years. I'm afraid of my own shadow. Afraid to think. Afraid. But no longer.
Herr Gruber, look. I am a discharged soldier from the Wehrmacht.
I have you. Your face looked familiar. It was not your face. But it was something about you. Your voice. I thought I recognized it. And then I started to think. Think. I, who had been afraid to think for years. You came to Freiburg about the same time the broadcast began. You were too ignorant of what was going on. And then, yesterday, you coughed, as he had. And I was almost sure then. Now, today, I watched your face when she was hanged. And then I knew.
Herr Gruber.
Trust me. You have no one else.
He was right. I had no one else. And I had to get out of Freiburg. Gruber offered to drive me across the bridge that night. From there, it would be only a few miles to the border of France. With his official pass from Gestapo headquarters, Gruber would be able to get past the guard. I got into the trunk of the car. It was open just enough to let me breathe. I still didn't know whether to trust him. There was a pretty big price on my head. The car slowed down when we reached the bridge.
Let me see your identification.
There you are.
Mm-hmm. What is your business outside of Freiburg?
Official business for the administration.
Fair. This looks all right. I have orders to search all cars.
Well, you can see there's nothing in mine. Please, will you hurry? This is official business for the Gestapo.
One moment, not so fast. What's in your trunk?
The trunk? Well, go see for yourself. I have an American spy there. I'm smuggling him across the border.
Don't be impudent. You understand?
I'm sorry. I was just having my little joke.
Well, I don't like jokes. You work as a clerk for the administration, so your head swells. You think you're Himmler. All right, pass.
I'm sorry.
All right, pass!
Quickly, get out here.
I want to apologize for the things I thought when you told the guard what you did.
It was the only thing I could think of at the moment that would prevent him from searching the trunk.
Well, goodbye.
Yes.
And thank you, my friend.
No, wait. Look, don't feel the woman died for nothing. She did not. You and she have given us the courage to look at ourselves in the mirror. We will continue to talk in whispers, yeah? But after you have gone, there will be many of us who will no longer think in whispers. Yes, well, you go. Goodbye. Wiedersehen.
Major Mark Langer made his way back to Allied lines. And when Freiburg was taken over some months later, it offered little resistance, thanks to the strong underground that had been encouraged by the Black Radio. And thus, once again, the report of another OSS agent closes with the words,
"Mission accomplished."
Listen again next week for another true adventure from the files of the OSS on
Cloak and Dagger.
Heard in today's Cloak and Dagger adventure as Mark was Larry Haynes, Lucille, Lily Darvas, and Gruber, Barry Kroger. Others were Raymond Edward Johnson, Arnold Moss, Stefan Schnabel, Bob Weil, and Jerry Jarrett. Script was written by Winifred Wolfe and Jack Gordon. Music was under the direction of John Garth. Sound effects by Chet Hill, Dick Gillespie, and Art Cooper. Today's OSS adventure was based on the book Cloak and Dagger by Corey Ford and Alistair McBain. This program was produced by Louis G. Cowan and Alfred Hollander under the direction and supervision of Sherman Marks. Three chimes mean good times on NBC. There's mystery and music tonight on NBC. The mystery is Sam Spade's latest case in which the romantic private eye solves the caper of too many clients. The music is the NBC Symphony Summer Concert with Antal Durati as guest conductor and the American Album of Familiar Music, one of radio's best-loved musical programs which returns to the air tonight. Three times mean good times on NBC.
As you heard, that was Cloak and Dagger. It was episode 16, titled The Black Radio. The original air date of the 27th of August, 1950. Unfortunately, when you're dealing with the quote-unquote golden age of radio, you're only limited to a couple of, you know, contemporary to that time. Wars, the end of World War I, World War II, and Korea. The Korean conflict war. Again, you read that was stories from the OSS, the Office of Strategic Services, which I believe developed into the CIA. A couple of interesting notes I was reading. The music was similar to the tale of the Texas Rangers that I actually played last week. My favorite OSS operation was Operation Cornflake, but I'm not going to divulge what that is because this is a radio program. I have to go ahead and fulfill a station and an FCC obligation all at once, so bear with me.
Attention, attention, hot off the wire. Scientists report that the Earth's supply of radio waves is dangerously close to exhaustion. Physicist Air Dr. Ben Yu has the story.
I can see charts, see radio waves, see it depleted.
All is not lost. Save the radio waves and donate to WMFO today. Donate with a credit card online at support.wmfo.org. Donate by check made out to trustees of Tufts College and mailed to WMFO, Attention Donation, P.O. Box 65, Medford, Massachusetts 02155. Visit our website at WMFO.org for more info.
Think that that was a PSA so much as it was a donation drive PSA, so let me go ahead and fulfill that. If you're under the influence of anything, never even think about getting behind the wheel of a car and driving. People die that way. A public service message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio. Okay. I didn't realize, I'd never heard that PSA before, that donation. I don't even know if that information's current. You can go to the website at wmfo.org that you can stream this show as well as find shows in the archive. But right now, listening to Arthur. This is the Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org. If I got to say it again, I'm going to tick myself off. And for Veterans Day, I played Cloak and Dagger. Had a hard time drumming up anything interesting for war-related. But this one I've played on here before. This is called Guess Who's Coming Home? Black Fighting Men, recorded live in Vietnam. It was compiled by Wallace Terry from a Time Magazine war correspondent who was over there. I believe this album came out in 1972. Yeah, because it was still going on. Vietnam didn't come to a conclusion until 1974. But I'll go ahead and play this out till the end. I may be back on. I might just let Carte Blanche breakfast take over after you listen. Thanks.
Hikalu, that's Swahili. It means place of gathering. And Hikalu is where black Marines and soldiers meet in Chulai. A barracks where they're free to talk about the man. No officers are present. No whites are present. Only brothers.
Goddamn, no, the reason they got us over here, because they think we suckers. We'll go out there in the bush, first thing the man gonna say, if Charlie out there sniping, what he gonna say? Say, boy, you go out there, boy. Well, hell, why should I be calling a boy? Hell, I got a name. They call me by my rank or anything. But I got to be a boy. This dude go out there and one blast go off and he falls down and he get up and he goes some more. He winds up getting a Medal of Honor. Well, five of us could be on that motherfucker. How come we can't get none? Like, up north, all right? There were 14 of us went out on an operation. All right, they sent us in the same place four fucking times. All right, the fifth time we went out there, well, Charlie had the whole trail, booby trap, and all this shit, and they know goddamn well you can't go in one place too many times if Charlie gonna have shit together, see? And had an L-shaped ambush. All right, I'm trying to get to my brother-in-law because he done got a leg blown off, and this other dude set off a goddamn booby trap, and I get goddamn shrapnel in the leg and all this shit, but why couldn't I get a motherfucking Medal of Honor? I went up there trying to get my brother-in-law over the trail. What did I get? I ain't get a motherfucking thing.
You get a Purple Heart.
Purple Heart? What the fuck is a Purple Heart, man?
Purple Heart.
Hell, I was entitled to a Purple Heart because I got fucked up.
I've been from Quezon on down to Quezon. And really, I've seen a lot of brothers do some outstanding feats where they should have got medals. A lot of brothers should have got medals. But they pat you on the back. They say, you're a good man, you know. You kill a few. They call you Quick Shot. Man of fire quick. Put him on point.
Has anybody messed with you for using the Black Power sign?
Three brothers was walking out of the mess hall, and I gave them the sign. And so the sergeant, he was my sergeant of first platoon. He was a beast, little thin motherfucker, big head. He said, what are you doing? And I said, well, I gave my brothers the sign. And he said, the next time I catch you doing that, I'm gonna take you right up to CID's office with me. I said, for what? He said, you know what that mean? I said, what? He said, Black Power. I said, no shit. He said, well, I'll run you straight up to CID. I said, well, I'll go up there with you right now, motherfucker. I said, because that's the way I greet my brothers every goddamn day, just like you big-head motherfuckers put up that peace sign.
Did you ever find out what that means?
All I know is it's supposed to mean peace.
Peace with victory.
Look here, all right, look
here. You understand? In other words, they kick everybody's ass, you know, all the people in the world, and they'll have peace.
Look here,
because they won't have no opposition.
Yeah. Motherfucker, they never did nothing for me. They ain't gonna never do nothing for me. They gonna tell me, well, I let you have this. They ain't gonna let me have a damn thing. I'm gonna take what's mine.
Yeah.
Give it back to me, what they took from my forefathers. We didn't ask to come over to America no motherfucking way. Motherfucking man came around smoking his pipe and started changing people, putting them on boats, bringing them over here. I hate the motherfuckers. I don't like none of them. And gonna do a couple of them soon as I get a chance to.
They teach you the leaders that try to rebel against this. All they told you was that the British went into Africa, got a bunch of brothers, put them on a ship, and brought them over here. But they didn't say whether the brother was the first one to step on American soil off that ship.
And another
we don't know this, but it had to be. See, somebody had to sit that gangplank on land. And I know no white man ain't lift that boat.
When I went to Benoit Air Base one night, I joined some brothers after their missions. pilots who fly jets, helicopters, slicks, cobras, and airplanes that spray herbicides.
I get more kicks out of shooting a water buffalo than I get out of doing anything else. We was driving along the road, and my trusty .38, which I never go anywhere without, I saw a water buffalo out there. Just by the influence of being in Vietnam, I decided to kill this man. This is his life. You know, this water buffalo. I saw it out in the field, and I decided to shoot up a barrel of ammunition at it. And I just kept pumping and pumping, but that buffalo did not fall. until he got introduced to the M16, you know? Now this is, what I'm saying is, I cannot use a Vietnamese, a gook, a dink, or anything else you want to call it now.
I hate working with them.
Because they'll kill you.
Because I have, while I was flying slicks, I put Vietnamese down in doggone rice paddies and stuff. And those cats would turn around and pump some shots off at me, man. I'm not kidding.
Or run back in the helicopter.
These cats, they went in there and they ran across a VC battalion. And they got caught on two sides. These Arvins, they dropped their weapons and, I mean, they got some head. They got some head. And these Americans were down there trying to coordinate fire to break these VC off these Arvins behind, you know. And the next day, we went out to the same place, and they brought up an American major out there and a brother, both of them in plastic bags, because these
beautiful
Arvins, yeah, these beautiful Arvins, you know, they can't stand and fight. And this is not the first time. These people aren't doing their job, so why should I feel anything for them?
I dropped 43 rounds of ammunition over top of somebody's house today. You know, when we was flying back from Saigon, I just reached in my belt, pulled them all out, and just threw them out the door. Now, from 1,000 feet, a round hitting the tin roof doesn't sound right. I've dropped red big rocks 1,500 feet on top of a hamlet, which really, it doesn't make sense.
We holler about we're doing good, then you go out and you kill a Vietnamese water buffalo, and he's pissed off, then he's gonna shoot. That's another VC you've accomplished right there. You're not killing it, you're making another one right there.
How do I know he's not one?
See,
before I started?
What I'm saying, this makes sense. This is a useless thing.
Well, I put it this way, some fool pushing some water buffalo down south of Dong Tan, you know, pumped the AK-47 round up underneath my seat, you know? Now, this didn't make me too happy, being that this was a non-hostile fire zone, no VC within the area, except a few people down on the ground with water buffalo. There's a lot of guys that's over here for a second tour. Even right in the Albertan, there's a lot of guys that raise a purple heart, you know? Now, they didn't hear any purple heart sitting around sticking pins in their fingers. Somebody out there shot it. And these were the guys running around in short cut-off khakis known as NVA uniforms. We've lost 3,000. Plus helicopters, you know. Why? Because of the same people that some people, the pacifists, want us to not shoot the water buffalo that transport these idiots from Hanoi and a few other places, you know. Yeah, I probably deprived maybe 50 BC of getting a ride.
You gotta justify that damn buffalo.
Now, wait a minute.
Water buffalo don't like Negroes.
If
you think they don't like Americans, period. The Vietnamese walked up to them, rubbed them, nothing happened. American especially got their soul scent, bang. You got a raging, maybe 2,000-pound piece of gray meat with horns that really can inflict severe wounds upon one's young body. Coming with you with great devastation. Now, I'm jabbing you not. You spray every day. You spray this stuff that destroys, timber killer, whatever you want to call it. Every day you spray this stuff, you know. And do you ever take into consideration what else you kill?
The herbicide is not supposed to really harm anything but vegetation.
That's just like me shooting that water buffalo. You kill them indirectly and I just go about it the right way.
I got reports I can refer to. All it says, this stuff killed trees. Flat, that's all it says.
Well, 38 only killed whatever's in his way.
At Pleiku in the Central Highlands, it was the monsoon season. The rain fell hard. I talked to a black private from Washington, D.C. He is 19 years old.
What's your job?
I drive a gas tanker.
A gas tank truck?
Yes, I do.
What is it?
A skill lake.
Have you ever been shot at?
In my truck?
Yeah.
No, sir. That's what I do. Finny truck, right? Finny truck driving. They shooting that damn gas.
You got a nickname for the truck?
Yeah.
Where you going?
Gas truck.
Why do you think America's fighting this war?
So the white man can put boo cool money in his pocket.
How's that?
Because anything America gets into, the white man puts boo cool money in his pocket. He just let you die, man, so he can send his little war materials over here, man. They don't care about you, man. All they want to do is just get some money, man. They build their little firms up here and around, send everybody over here, man, round up their dust, and let you die. And don't give a fuck.
Have you seen any Confederate flags?
That's all we got in my company. Got one up in the oily room. What you talking about? Confederate flags? What's a Confederate flag anyway? I thought the flag with the cross, stars, and shit like that was American flag. What's American flag look like? All you see is Confederate flags draped in the back of trucks, man, everywhere. Yet and still they got a colonel that can come down and say, I want all this black bumper stickers off of these walls. We don't have no room for militants in this army. Have any room, matter of fact, we don't have room for black people. All we got are color boys in this army. It just burns me up, man. I mean, of all things to have over here, man, why a Confederate flag? As a matter of fact, I think it ought to be some goddamn law to fucking outlaw them goddamn flags, man. Fucking Confederacy is gone, man. Do you really know what the Confederacy did, man? They tried to rise up and fucking fuck up the whole goddamn country, man. Just over a little goddamn things like slaves, man. They want to secede from the Union because they can't make fucking human beings work. Whip them with fucking whips, kill them, sell them on markets, treat them like fucking animals. They want to just fuck up everything because they can't treat a human being like an animal, man. That's really senseless, man. And then they let them still run around with those silly ass flags.
What did you think about America reaching the moon?
I wish I could piss that far. Because, man, they can't find anything better to waste money on than going to the moon, right? Meanwhile, it's really something up there, too, right? A moon, man. If it was some food up there, they're going to get to bring back to feed these poor people in the streets. Shit, yeah, go to the moon all you want. Fuck. Go to the moon.
Oh, would man. You join a group like the Black Panthers?
I damn sure would. I'd either join the Black Panthers or SDS. Preferably SDS, man.
Why?
Because they down on the whole thing, man. They down on this fucking war. They're down on society, right? Establishment, man. Because society and establishment is fucked up, man. And it needs change, man.
Change to what?
Change so people can live, man. Live equally, you know. So, I mean, you know, get all this racist stuff on out here. I mean, it's always going to be race, man. I mean, people are always going to know you're a different color. But see, now the time has come when it's going to be one race, man. It's not going to be fucked over all the time, man. We not no fucking Indians, right? I mean, they had their way. They put us on a reservation just like them damn Indians, man. Give us nothing. Well, see, that ain't going to happen to the black man. If anything happens, the black man will put these fucked up white people on reservations.
You think the black man should return to Africa?
Hell no.
Why?
There's nothing in Africa for me. My home is America, man. I was born in America, and I'm an American. The Constitution doesn't say anything about the color of people's skin, except that it says they're equal. All people are born and created equal, man. Unless you're a Buddhist, right? Then you're a fucking number 10 person. The United States says Buddhists are number 10.
Everywhere I traveled, brothers spoke out about the leaders back home, the black ones and the white ones. I asked Gas Truck how he felt about the loss of Martin Luther King.
I mean, it burnt me up when they killed him, man. Because he's a black man, right?
Right.
We was trying to help him his way, man. But nonviolence had played out, man. Nonviolence didn't do a thing but get that man killed.
What about Julian Bond?
Julian Bond is up there, number one dude, man. Because he's doing what Brooks should be doing. He's opening his mouth and speaking. And letting the people know what's happening.
He gonna get killed, though.
He'll die young, just like King.
How'd you feel when Bobby Kennedy got killed?
Only the good die young. Must have been some good, right?
How you feel about Rockefeller, John Lindsay?
He's rich. He doesn't want to pay taxes. Fuck him. He wants me to pay all the taxes. Rich people just don't want to pay taxes, man. They make all the money and refuse to pay taxes on it. Rockefeller's the governor of New York, and yeah. Lindsay is the mayor. And they can't keep the garbage off the streets.
Who do you want to see president?
That's a hard question. I like to jokingly say I'd like to see George Wallace. So all the brothers would really rise up, man. I mean, that would even bring the fucking Toms out, man. Even they wouldn't sit still for that shit, I'm sure.
How you like Dick Gregory?
That dude is really something. I haven't heard him tell a joke in so long. All he does is go on diets, go to jail, run for president. That dude does everything, man. He's the number one dude. They ought to make Dick Gregory president. At least he could eat once in a while.
Hey, what about this woman from New York?
One that got elected out of Brooklyn, Chisholm?
Yeah. She out of sight, you know what I mean? She heavy like a motherfucker. Yeah. I shit you not, she got her shit together.
What'd you think of Lyndon Johnson?
Lyndon Johnson did a whole lot, man. He did a whole lot for the black man. I don't know if he wanted to do it or not. Matter of fact, I'd like to see Johnson as president right now. At least he didn't run around saying, I'm going to stop the war, I'm going to stop the war, and don't do a damn thing but withdraw 25,000 troops and then send 2,500 back over. I wish he was still president, man. At least I knew what he was doing, right? I knew he was going to come on TV and have a heavy heart. Nixon always needs a shade. He is a nowhere dude.
You haven't seen anything where Nixon has passed any bills for the black man or anything in this nature? Nixon is thinking more or less of foreign policy, of more or less of his own race.
Well, you take the black history, you take the honky history. The honky history is a bunch of fucking, you read about a bunch of goddamn villains that done goddamn, they make out of history. You take General Custer in your history books. Just cause the Indian kicked his ass, he's supposed to be a motherfucking goddamn hero. You take motherfucking George Washington, this motherfucker on a whole bunch of goddamn slaves. You take all these motherfuckers they call motherfucking heroes. They done goddamn owned slaves or got whooped by the Indians or did some funky ass shit. And as far as Nixon, he just trying to pass a couple of bills to keep your ass down.
Many blacks had impressive records for bravery and command, none more than Colonel Frank Peterson, a Phantom Squadron commander at Chulai. He commanded some of the Marines you have heard. I asked him if their anger would spill into the streets when they come home.
Many of the blacks who are being discharged, if they encounter the right set of conditions, will become guerrillas. And I think it could be anything from a policeman stopping a car and telling get out of there, boy, or something of this nature, just enough to trigger them. And I think that the average black who has been here and then goes back to the States is bordering somewhat on the psychotic as a result of, one, being a Negro in America, having been born and raised, and then having been given this black pride, and to go back and find out nothing has changed.
Wherever I went in Vietnam, I heard brothers talk about what they might do back home. What could set them off? Listen to what they say.
March down the street and the man, let the man hit you in the head with a stick. Don't do nothing, brother. The man ain't trying to hurt you. He just trying to stop you. Don't just turn your head over and let him hit you again. Bullshit.
I don't want to hurt him. I want to just get rid of him. Eliminate him.
I'm out there in the bush with these. I can be shot anytime. And give up my life. And I've already watched brothers die. I had to identify the body. I watched this dude die. Shot. Sniper round. For what?
My ancestors said please. Yeah, they said please. Did they get any mercy? Why should we go turn around and stick out that tin plate and say, please, may I have this? Hell no. Fuck the motherfucker. I say start an armed revolution.
What do you mean by an armed revolution?
An armed revolution? I mean when you get out and do everything that has been taught to you in the military. We've seen things that, you know, that really make you want to freak. I mean, blow your mind and whatnot.
Now, how much better equipped can a brother be by after his Vietnam experience? What can he do?
We've learned squad tactics, how to use the weapon, how to take care of it, you know? Why can't we teach our brothers back in the world how to shoot this weapon, take care of it, defend himself?
As the brothers fade back from over here, you're finding more and more brothers that are getting together. Because most of the brothers, when I went home, the only ones that were together were the ones that had been over here. And they're starting to talk now. And they're talking to other brothers. Other brothers are starting to get the picture of what's going on. So we're going to be more or less the backbone. If not the leaders, we will be the backbone of this revolution.
They got me over in the NOM. But see, they thinking they're harming me. But see, if it boils down to a revolution, they really taught me something, really. Because I know how to set up C4 charges.
Oh, man. M14, 500 yards.
You know another thing with the white man, what's gonna be a downfall? He think all brothers look alike. If you're black, you look alike. You look exactly if you're black, you look alike.
And see, you just don't know. When I might be one of them old Toms that pushing his broom and be smiling at him and doing. And doing a job quick.
The Marine Corps taught me one other thing I didn't miss. They taught me how to improvise.
Repeat this. White man taught me how to be sly. Just like he'll laugh and smile in your face and pat you on your back and call you a good man and all this, but he really calling you a good nigga. Same thing I'ma do to him. I'ma laugh and smile in his face. But when I be patting him on his back, I'ma be stabbing his ass to death.
Now they're coming home. I saw Gas Truck back in the world, at home in Washington, D.C. We talked to the students killed at Kent State and Jackson State, students his own age.
I think they're really martyrs. I think they also died in vain all through the years, man. They kill anybody they want, and nobody cares. Nobody in position to do anything about it cares, right? And anybody who could get into a position to do anything about it gets killed.
Do you think Vietnamization will work? Or what does it mean to you?
Vietnamization? Like, I don't understand, because, like, can't the Vietnamese all their lives. I mean, how much more Vietnamese can they get, you know? They've been being Vietnamese ever since they've been in Vietnam. What do they want out of those people?
But we're Vietnamizing the war.
No, you're Americanizing the war. You're Westernizing Vietnam. Trying to give them all kinds of fucked up values.
Except as what?
Just trying to make them, oh wow, capitalists, killers, oppressors. Teach them how to kill their brothers, right? Right. That's what they want them to do. Kill your brother, right? Kill the North Vietnamese, right? You're the South Vietnamese. Cat man, you kill your brother. Why help him out? Why do anything for him? Why try to see things his way at all? Kill him.
We believe America is achieved in Vietnam.
We really have achieved in Vietnam. We're doing a lot for Coca-Cola. A whole lot. Coca-Cola is really doing well in Vietnam because of us Americans. Those Vietnamese can sell Coca-Colas for 50 cents and above. I think that's really nice, right? We help those Vietnamese people out a lot by letting them give them those Coca-Cola. Damn right, they like Coca-Cola. We like Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola's in every country in the world. Hoorah for Coca-Cola, right? Turn on with a Coke, man. It's the thing, the young generation or something. Other than that, you just treat them bad. Just do them in, man. Do the poor Vietnamese in.
Would you join the Black Panther Army?
I doubt it. It would really have to get a lot closer to home for me to really get out in the streets and want to start killing pigs. If you're a Panther, you can forget it, because, like, you're gonna, like, get it in the end, man.
Perhaps some of the anger, some of the rhetoric will fade as the brothers return. What is clear is that they are worse off now than when they left. In the big cities, I see them walking the streets, still wearing their army jackets, with nowhere to go and nothing to do. Bad discharges, drugs, no jobs. This story is far from over. The angry voices of black soldiers are being heard around the world.
I haven't got an education. Since I've been here, the only thing I've learned is how to kill somebody.
And you come back to the States, and the man's gonna say, I'm sorry, son, but I'm gonna give you these rights, but you ain't ready for the rest of them yet. And after I done put my life on the line, the man comes up there and says that I'm going to try to kill him. And if I can't kill him, he's going to wish he was dead.
All the people have to get together. You should have unity. You gotta, then second of all, you should have self-respect for yourself as a black man, black respect for the women of the black race and all black people. And then you should have self-defense, because you're going to have self-defense, because you ain't going to let the man fuck over you no more.
Right on.
Let the man know well, if I come back to the States, he's got something to deal with when I get back. I ain't coming back playing, hey, can you see? I'm whistling Sweet Georgia Brown and I got the band.
that was. Guess Who's Coming Home, Black Fighting, Men Recorded Live in Vietnam. It's part of my